In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. The word of God for our Reformation devotion is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, the Lutheran Reformation is not about a man nailing 95 theses to a church door. It is about a man being nailed to a cross as our substitute. The Lutheran Reformation was not a revolution against the secular and ecclesiastical powers of this world, as perhaps many of you have been reading in places like the Wall Street Journal and Money Magazine and other periodicals. The Lutheran Reformation was about a war against Satan and the spiritual kingdom of darkness. Would Jesus' words ring true? Or would Satan's lies be allowed to continue unfettered to the destruction of the church, so that the gates of hell would prevail, contrary to what Jesus had promised? The Lutheran Reformation was about Christ keeping his promise to Peter and to Martin Luther and to us. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We opened our service, not surprisingly, with a hymn that is closely associated with the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress. There is another, more ancient hymn that gives the same assurance and comfort, Psalm 46. Martin Luther wrote A Mighty Fortress in the late 1520s, almost assuredly based on the words of Psalm 46. But what were and what are the authors of that ancient hymn and of this hymn that we use in our church really trying to say? What points were they trying to make? On this celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation, what is the message that the psalm writer and Luther were passing on to us by putting pen to paper? That message is our theme. God exercises his rule in Christ. Bear with me this morning and think of Psalm 46 as a coin. A two sides, then, on the side of heads, the Holy Spirit has engraved the crises of life and the peace that God gives to us in the midst of those crises. And on the tail side, the Holy Spirit has engraved the account of the final conflict and the perfect peace that that conflict will bring for the church. Crises in life comes with the territory of living in a fallen world. Think about some of those crises. The loss of a job or health. There are deaths among family members or friends. There are tensions among living family members. Some of our neighbors or co-workers mock us and deride us for clinging to faith alone and grace alone and Scripture alone. Other Christian churches reject our stand on those truths of Scripture. Part of the crises of living in a fallen world is the same as it was at the time of the Reformation, that false teaching divides the visible church because of its errors. You know, at times in life, you and I might quiver and quake and cower like a helpless little rabbit that is looking up into the end of a hunter's rifle. Where are we going to find peace? Where can we go to run and hide? The psalmist says, and Luther says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. A refuge is an impregnable fortress. Yes, a mighty fortress. A place of refuge is that cleft in the rock face where that little coney can run and hide and get away and be safe from the hunter. Strength is a word that describes the place where when a warrior goes off to fight his enemy, that his family can stay and be strong in their safety. As he's off fighting, the family gets food, they get protection. God is our refuge. He is that fortress, that rock in which we hide. God is our strength. God is the one that provides us with our daily bread. He gives his angels charge over us so that we do not strike our foot against a stone. He richly and daily forgives us all of our sins for the sake of Christ. He has called us into his kingdom of grace and preserves us there until he takes us into the kingdom of glory for Jesus' sake. God exercises his rule in Christ. We are safe in our refuge and our strength. You know, there may be times in our lives when it feels like the earth is actually giving way under our feet. I suspect that many Christians feel that way after going through some natural disaster, like a flood, or a fire, or an earthquake. Or sometimes it feels like the earth is falling away when we seek justice, when we seek quiet to live, and instead we only receive injustice and violence at the hands of others. Waters roar and foam, and mountains quake with their surging, sometimes literally and sometimes metaphorically. More visible churches than ever undermine and even attack our and our fellow believers' faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. They continue to lie in God's name by teaching false doctrine, by teaching ways to heaven that do not exist. This is nothing new. This is nothing different for the church. Nor is this new or different. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. When Martin Luther and the other reformers who came before him and those who came after him stood their ground on the Word of God, the Lord God helped them be free from every need that had them overtaken. And such is a precursor for the end of time. And until the end of time, the church of God, will remain safe and sound because it is built on a river. Think for a minute about the great cities in the United States that were at one time just, we might say, a wide spot in the road, but have developed into great cities. The one thing that they share in common is that their founders built them on rivers. Can you think of any? Any great cities that are built on rivers? Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Chicago, New York City, and the list could go on and on. The church of God is built on a river, and that river is the gospel of Christ. That river is the forgiveness of our sins and the assurance of our salvation. And that makes us a great city. That makes us a great municipality that we call the kingdom of God, the church. And as we experience the crises of living in a sinful world, through that gospel, we have peace. We have that comfort and that assurance of God's deliverance in those days. That means of grace, the gospel in word and sacrament, is what makes us strong and prosperous. And that's what the Reformation was about. It was about the Word of God. It was about the sacraments to be administered and used according to Christ's command, not according to the errors of the church. But the psalmist declares a second certainty on the flip side of that coin, Psalm 46, and that is that the final conflict, the end of the world, will bring perfect peace for us. Reformation Sunday is the first of four Sundays in end time that bring to a conclusion the church year. I can well imagine that when Luther was sitting in his cell at the Augustinian Monastery in Erfurt, that he was, among other things, thinking, you know, this would really be a good time for Jesus to come back. This would really be a good time for the earth to melt and the church be taken into heaven while there's some of it left. Or when he was standing before Prince Charles and standing before all the secular and ecclesiastical rulers of the world being threatened with excommunication and death, that he might have thought, you know, today would be a good day for the world to end. But I'm sure he was also thinking, well, if not, then I've got things to do. I've got to take a stand on God's word, and I'm not going to worry or be afraid about what they threaten to do to me, because as Matthew said in the gospel, we're going to appear before councils and rulers and make a confession of what we believe, that I know God is my fortress and my strength, and he's going to take care of me. And as Paul said, if I die, what a blessing. But if I live, that's because I still have work to do. And so Luther, I'm sure, thought, if I die or Christ comes, that would be great. But if not, then I've got work to do. And I know that no man, that no evil spirit, that no counsel can prevent me and keep me from doing my work. Because Luther knew that he and we are living, that the church is living at the break of day. And that's a Hebrew idiom that addresses the temporariness of life. At the break of day meant the night's only here for a short time. That the night is going to end and the new day is going to come. So at that break of day, we will have those blessings. The Lord will give us that new day. God will help her at break of day. God is within her. She will not fall. On the rock of Christ, Christ builds his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The church will stand until the end comes, even as we have to continue to endure false teachings and those who have gathered around them teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. The church will safely continue for the few more days that we have, as through the gospel God protects us. And when that day appears, we will be safe in judgment. The believer will be like the wise person who stands under a doorway in an earthquake. Did you know that's where they tell you to stand in an earthquake? Under a doorway? Because that door frame is the most solid place there is, and you'll be safe if you're standing there. When the Lord God on the last day makes wars cease and brings desolations on the earth and breaks the bow and shatters the spear, when he lifts his voice and the earth melts, we, the church, will be safe. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. We already have perfect peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Scripture alone. And then I don't know if you ever noticed the commonality between the command here and two of Jesus' miracles. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." That's exactly the same command that Jesus gave twice to a storm. Remember on the Sea of Galilee? He said, "Be still." And the winds died down, the waves calmed down, the storm ended. So here God says to his enemies, "Be quiet, be still. You have been defeated. You have been overcome." And here he also says to us, the members of the church, "Be still. Be quiet and calm. Don't worry. The end is near. But when I come, When that end comes, then you will be at perfect peace. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. On this Reformation Day, our church remains militant, that is, fighting against Satan and against his lies. However, the victory already is ours as God exercises his rule in Christ. And to that end, he will deliver his church as part of the church triumphant. But in the meantime, no secular power, no ecclesiastical powers, no demonic powers can enslave us or destroy the church. There's another promise that Jesus made, that he spoke in the Bible, and that Luther and the others held to, and that by God's grace we continue to hold to, and may God grant us to continue to do that. In John 8, Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen.